please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself.
Good evening. Tonight, I want to talk about the fact that our God is faithful. He is faithful. And what does that mean? We'll get back to 2 Timothy here in just a minute. But he's faithful in all the things that he does for us. The question, whether it was this morning in Tyler's sermon or whether it was mine last week, is whether or not we trust him. Do we truly trust him? We can talk about him being faithful. We can talk about him always being there for us. But in those moments of life, do we trust him? There was a young boy that went out, and there was a tree stump that it was his job to remove. So he had all the tools to get that tree stump out. And he was out there all day, blood, sweat, and tears. I mean, he was using a crowbar for hours, using all sorts of tools. His dad came home from work, and his dad went over to him and said, "Son, I think I see your problem." And you can imagine as a son, you think, oh, here we go. "You're not using all your strength," he said. So as the son gets upset, "Dad, I've been out here all day. All day. You come home, and after a few minutes, you think you know what I haven't done? That I haven't used all my strength?" The dad went inside. The son finally calmed down. And he went in and said, "Dad, what are you talking about? I didn't use all my strength." And the son looked at his, or the dad looked at his son and said, "Son, you never asked me for my help. You never asked me." It's way too often we are the ones that think that we're able to get through whatever we're going through, even though the situation is bigger than us. Bigger than us. And you imagine how often God is just saying, "You didn't even ask me. You didn't even talk to me. You didn't lean on your brothers and sisters in Christ." How often we've been in situations where we pray, "God, please help me through this." And we have brothers and sisters that have gone through very similar things, or at least willing to help us through the things that we are going through. And we actually think, "You didn't even answer me. You just didn't accept the help." He is faithful. The question for us is whether or not we're willing to ask for the help, and sometimes whether or not we even see the help. Over in John, the 6th chapter, if you turn over there with me, there's a story about the feeding of the 5,000, and this is in every one of the Gospels. This is one of the stories you see in all of them. We're going to look at John's account and turn over to Mark in just a few minutes. But can you imagine for just a minute, you have all of these people that were there, that were around, and we're told in verse 2, it's a very, very large crowd. We're given some numbers later on. But what they are watching is Jesus perform miracles. He's healing the sick. And the disciples are there, and you imagine how excited they are. They're watching this power. And Jesus turns to them in John's account in verse 5, and he says, Where are we to buy bread so that these may eat? Can you imagine that? Jesus Christ is standing there. You've watched him do some amazing, awesome things, and he turns to you and says, "Hey, where are we going to buy these people some food?" We understand in the next verse that he was saying that he was testing them because he knew exactly what he was going to do. It is amazing how often our Savior is standing right next to us, and we don't realize what the answer is to the problem that we're in. Can you imagine what would they have done? How could they have fed the 5,000 without Jesus? We're told in other gospels, they said, hey, just send them home. Send them to the other places. We can't feed them. And you know what? That's right. They couldn't. You see, if you continue on here, Philip says, look, we have 200 denarii worth of bread. It's not sufficient for them, for everyone to receive a little. They'd only get a little bit from 200 days' wage. That's what they started out with this story. And you know what's awesome about this story? That's what they end up with. They didn't spend any of it. We don't have enough money. Or what if you come up to a situation, and as verse 8 does, as Andrew comes up to Jesus and says, hey, there's a little boy over here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are these for so many people? Hey, I have a little bit. I have a crowbar that I can remove, a tree stump. I have a hammer. Does that help any? There's little things that I can do, and certainly that young boy is going to play a big part in this. And Andrew bringing it up plays a big part in it. But at this point, can you imagine going up to Jesus and saying, hey, I think I have a solution. There's this little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus says, have him sit down. It is a powerful, powerful lesson, I think, for us to see these stories as in the feeding of the 5,000. Because so often we're in situations that there is no answer. There is no way that I can solve the problem. There is no way that I can get through the problem. But Jesus Christ can. Our brothers and sisters in Christ can help us through them. We go through things in this life that I'm telling you absolutely will destroy people. It destroys lives, the things that people go through. And it will destroy our lives if it's not for Jesus Christ. There are things, horrible things, that people are going to go through and are going through. And the way that we're able to get through those things is because of our relationship with God. The difficulty sometimes is that we find ourselves in the midst of feeding 5,000 people and we don't realize who's there to help. We don't see him. We don't understand the power that he has. We don't understand, if you continue on here in this chapter, that's verse 11, Jesus then took the loaves and having given thanks, he distributed to those who were seated, likewise also the fish, as much as they wanted. As much as they wanted. 5,000 plus people were fed, and there was as much as they wanted, and there were leftovers. And I've said before, they had to have been the best leftovers ever. I want you to imagine this story. What man brought to the table was a good idea. How about we send them home? How about we send them somewhere else? Hey, here's a little bit of food. And then Jesus, I'll give them leftovers. They'll have plenty to eat. When we think about Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, as Tyler brought up this morning, for us to understand, for Jesus to answer our questions, for God to answer our prayers, and he's able to do far beyond all we can comprehend or imagine, that so often we're standing here feeding 5,000 people and have no idea how that's going to happen. But we read this story. Oh, Andrew, how could you be so goofy in thinking that? Oh, Philip, how could you even think that? That's exactly what we do. It is amazing how often we can get caught up in the same thing. Over in Mark, the 8th chapter, after he feeds the 5,000, then they're going a little farther. He's fed 4,000 now in chapter 8. You get down to chapter 8, verse 14. There's a situation that's going on with the disciples, and somebody forgot the bread, right? And they're just, oh, I can't believe we forgot the bread. And Jesus begins to talk, and he's like, oh, they know. He knows that we forgot the bread, right? And so you have this whole thing going on. This is exactly what I would have been doing. In verse 14, and they had forgotten to take bread and did not have more than 1 loaf in the boat with them. And he was giving orders to them, saying, watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said, why do you discuss the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet see or understand? Do you have your hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves and the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces you picked up? And they said to him, 12. When I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of broken pieces did you pick up? And they said to him, 7. And he said to them, do you not yet understand? I often wonder how often this is us that's caught up in this situation. We're walking through life. We know what God has done for us in the past. We can see it. I could tell you about it. We could talk about it. He has answered my prayers. He didn't answer it the way that I thought he was going to. It was in a better way. I can't tell you how many times I've heard the stories. And yet we get another situation and we are forgetting the fact that we just forgot the bread. And he says, do you still not understand? Do we still not understand that Jesus Christ is the answer to all of these issues? He's the answer to all of these problems. That when he says, watch out for the leaven, as he does to them, is exactly what he's saying to us. Be careful for those around you. Don't get caught up thinking that you're missing some bread. And how often we miss the point of what is being said. We have a tremendous opportunity, brethren, to help a lot of people here at West Mason that are going through a lot of difficulties. Certainly today more were added. And every day there are things that are occurring. And it's wonderful that we're able to go out and do the things that we need to do for one another. And the danger so often in a congregation when you have more than 5 people is that you think somebody else is going to do it. And then all of a sudden nobody does it. What I love about this congregation is how often it's too many people doing it, the same thing. That's what you want to see. We're all doing these things. We're all helping one another. I love when people say, you guys stop, you have to stop bringing us food. I have no more room for it. I can't eat it. You have to stop. That's what you want to see. That's what brothers and sisters in Christ are supposed to do for one another. But I suggest to you, even in the best things that we can do, and they are awesome, and God sends them our way for us to be able to do, never forget that you can take their names before God. Never forget. You can take them the food. You can check on them, and we need to do all of those things. And some of it is an answer to the prayers that we are praying. But don't forget to take their names before Him. Don't forget to talk to God. What I'd like to do at this moment is to actually stop and have a prayer. This morning, as we announced, there's a lot of things that are going on here. Greg Heron, if you weren't here this morning, has been diagnosed with ALS. Horrible disease. And we need to watch for him and watch for Pam and what we can do to help them. And there's going to be opportunities for us to help them. But we certainly need to take his name before God and Pam and what she's going to be going through and has been going through. We need to remember the French family. As Kathy goes through her treatments and the diagnosis, remember Stan Porter and his surgery, Jim McReynolds and his surgery, Tom Green, who's here, will have surgery tomorrow. And there's so many others that are going through so many different things, and that's just those that are dealing with current things at the moment. We need to pray for one another. We need to remember one another. And we need to understand the power that is at our disposal to talk to the great God of all things at any time. So if you would, please bow with me. Dear Father in heaven, we bow before you, thanking you so much, dear Father, for this opportunity that we have to worship you, for the opportunity that we have as your children to bow our heads, to talk to you. We understand, dear Father, that you know our hearts, and we come before you humbly, dear Father, understanding that we need you. There are so many in our midst that need you, that people all over the world need you. We come before you now, dear Father, on behalf of those that were mentioned that are dealing with such physical difficulties. That you be with the Herons, that you'll comfort them, strengthen them, that we'll be the encouragement that we need to be for them, that we will always and constantly bring their names before you. We ask you to be with the French family, to be with the McReynolds, the Porters, be with Tom Green, just all, dear Father, that are dealing with so many things on a day-to-day basis, those that are dealing with things from an emotional perspective. We just ask, dear Father, that you be with all of them. Please, dear Father, do not let us take for granted the wonderful weapon that we have in talking to you in prayer. Please let us not let anything get in the way of the family that we are here, that we continue to strive to grow closer to you, and that we grow closer to one another, doing all we possibly can to help one another and to bring other people to you. And it's through your Son's wonderful name we pray. Amen. There's so often when we do pray, we have a choice to make. The things that we go through in this life, and Tyler mentioned this morning, sometimes we get caught up and we just say the same thing. When I was young, there would be people that would get up and pray, and I would pray with them. Like, it was a contest for me. I can say that now. I couldn't say that when I was younger. But that's what I used to do. Or I used to time it and see who had the longest prayers, right? Just like God would want you to do during prayers. But the reality is, that's not what he wants you to do. That there's this part and responsibility that we all have from a public standpoint, that what is being prayed is correct. And we're in agreement with it. And we understand we're bowing before the great I Am, our Father, and talking to him. And how blessed we are to be able to talk to him at any time about anything. You're angry. There's no better time to talk to God. You're happy. There's no better time to talk to God. Whatever we are going through, one of the first calls, if you will, or the first call should be to God. Us talking to him, constantly communicating with our Father. In 2 Timothy, the second chapter, the verses that were read to us earlier by Sean, I want you to notice these if pieces, and I want you to notice when it changes. So you have these comparisons and these unification parts, and then all of a sudden things change a little bit. If we do this, and this is what's going to happen, as he says in verse 11, it is a trustworthy statement. For if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. That's amazing. Those two right off the bat. Awesome. It's a trustworthy statement. Again, how many of us trust it is the question. That I am going to reign with him. That I am going to live because of him and live with him. If we deny him, he's going to deny you. But verse 13 is so powerful. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He remains faithful. There are going to be times where we're going to be leaning on brothers and sisters, people in this world, things that we're going through in this life, and humans are going to let you down. They're going to let you down. It's going to happen. There's even with the best intentions, there have been people that have written cards, and they send cards, and people just don't understand what the card is saying. They take it as discouragement when it's meant to be encouragement. There's all sorts of things that can happen. So even from the best of intentions, things occur. There are going to be times in our lives where you're counting on somebody to come and help you, and they wake up and they're sick and they can't come. Things happen. And then there's just times where people are going to stop being faithful and potentially fall away. And your relationship with God cannot be founded or grounded upon that, but upon God. Things happen. People will let you down from time to time. Our God will not. And the point that Tyler was making this morning from that standpoint, he will not let you down. That doesn't mean that it's going to be the answer that you always want it to be. Some of this has to be on our end of understanding. We can have confidence in God. We need to trust in God. That doesn't mean he's going to answer it the way that we want it to be answered. But we have confidence in him and what he's saying and what he's going to do. And that ultimately, the most important thing for any of us is that we can be with him for eternity. So when you read verses like verse 11, if we died with him, we're going to live with him. That doesn't mean that you're going to have a great wealthy life on earth, that means you're going to be wealthy with him for eternity, spiritual wealth. When he says we're going to endure, I guarantee you that means you're going to endure. I don't even have to look up the Greek to know what that means, endure. You're going to go through things. And what does he say is going to happen? You're going to reign with him. When's that going to occur? Not here. So there's things that we're going to go through in this life. There's going to be difficulties that go through in this. There's things that are unfair that people go through in this life. We all do. Because life's not fair. But for me to be able to stand before you and say that I have the opportunity to be with him for eternity in a place that the Bible tries to explain is a place that has streets of gold, and that doesn't even begin to tell you the beauty of it, that I have the opportunity to be with him for eternity as an heir? It's worthy of going through some of the difficulties that we go through in this life. Doesn't mean I like it. Doesn't mean I'm always smiling when I go through them, because I'm not. But it does mean I trust him. And that's the attitude that we need to have. When you turn over to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and this is where we've been the theme for the year. This is where the sermon ultimately comes from. In verse 23, we're going to read all of these in just a minute, but in verse 23, he says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." He is faithful. He is going to do what he has promised us. He is faithful. But brethren, there are times that we catch ourselves, and just use the feeding of the 5,000. We get caught in situations that we just don't see a way out of. He's faithful. He's there. When we talk about passages, and like in Isaiah, where he'll talk about, I'm going to go through the fire with you, I'm going to go through the water with you, that means you're going to go through them. But he's with you. He's faithful. They are struggles. They will break people in this world, the things that people go through. But as God's children, we are promised that he is faithful and that he will get us through those things. He'll be with us through those things, and that he'll give us an everlasting home. Whether or not we trust him is the question. Here in context, you have people wanting to go back to the old law, and he's telling them, look, you don't understand what you have. You have this amazing new law, and what the new law does. Tyler talked this morning about the high priest. But I just want you to notice, and these are the verses that we're using this year. Beginning in verse 19 and following, he talks about this confidence that we are to have. Do you have confidence in God? Just verse 22 beginning says, "Let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." I want you to notice, as we have this confidence, the "let us" verses here that we just read. I'll just put them up there. We have confidence in him, what he's done. He's faithful. Then draw near to him. Draw near to him. Are you confident that he's going to be with you? Do you have full assurance, as verse 22 says? Full assurance. That's hope. Full assurance. I know he's going to do it. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know how he's going to feed the 5,000. I don't know how this is going to happen, how I'm going to get through this, but I know God is going to be with me. I have full assurance of that. Are we willing to hold fast to him, to the confession of our hope without wavering, as 23 says? And when we're doing all of these things, every single one of us, being willing to consider one another, can you imagine if we all stopped focusing on our favorite subject, me or you, and considered one another. That's not hard to imagine. But perhaps it's something that we all need to make sure that we are getting back to doing. Focusing on one another. Considering how to stimulate one another onto love and good deeds. Not forsaking the assembly, as he talks about in verse 25. But to encourage one another. Not forsaking the assembly, again, we've talked about this before, is not simply coming into a church building and sitting down and checking that off the list and running out as quickly as possible. Encouraging one another is in how we worship is important. But it's also encouraging one another, spending time with one another, helping one another. Even more as you see the day drawing near. Every day. Doing all the things that we need to do to serve our God. Are we doing that? The people that he's writing to here in Hebrews, it is amazing what they're going to go through in this life. In verse 33 and 34, these are people that had been suffering tremendous conflict. They had given up their houses, horrible things. And you know what the reminder and the encouragement for them is? That they need to make sure and not have, they need to make sure that they do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward in verse 35. It wasn't simply that you're going to lose your house, you're going to do all these things. Don't forget the reward. You're going to go through sicknesses. Don't forget the reward. You're going to go through economic issues. Don't forget the reward. We're going to go through a pandemic. Don't forget the reward. And when we have opportunities, let's draw near. Let's hold fast, and let's make sure that we're considering one another. There are people here that need your help. They need you. And I'm begging you, it cannot be 10% of the people doing 90% of the work. We all need to do our part. We all need to make sure that we are encouraging one another, helping one another. Because there is a day coming where we're going to bow before him. We're given account of all the things that we have done in this life. And the question is going to be, did you have full assurance? Did you trust him? Did you have confidence? Did we lean on him? Did we walk through this life with him? Did we obey him? And if we have, we'll be with him for eternity. We all have that opportunity now to make sure that our life is right with him. He is faithful. He promises you eternal life if you're obedient unto him. But he's also faithful in telling us what it's going to be like if we're not faithful to him. Because he's going to continue to be faithful. And if our choice is to not be with him for eternity, he is going to allow that to occur. That's your choice. That's my choice. But if you have not obeyed the gospel, now's the time. If you have questions, please ask. Make sure that you're using prayer every single day of your life. Talk to him. Make sure you pray for one another. And look around and see the opportunities that are before you to help one another, encourage one another. And if there's anything that we can do for you right now, I ask you to please come up and stand and sing.